Welcome to the GolfChannel.com podcast. I'm Rex Hoggard. It's my pleasure to be joined by Dana Frye, one of a big team of folks that had a hand here at Erin Hills side of the U.S. Open this week. It's Thursday morning. It's been a long time. First off, let me get your emotions. What are you thinking? It's, how do you feel?
Kid on Christmas Day. You know, except this Christmas is taking, you know, I've been in the business for 34 years now. It's taken 34 years. The whole thing seems surreal.
When you look at the golf course and you've had a chance to hear some of the player reaction, you have to be happy.
Well, in particular, and I'm not sure if you know this, but I came here Tuesday last week. I've been here over a week. Mm-hmm. I've gone around the golf course entire rounds with Patrick Reed. Then I spent 2 days with Justin Rose. And then one of the highlights of my career is I got to spend 3 days with Rory McIlroy, who I'd been in communication with through his agent. And I know how they feel about the golf course. And Rory came in this very room to say exactly how he felt about the golf course. And to hear people of that caliber that think that highly of this, of something that you put so much of your life into, is, it means a lot.
I knew you had had a chance to go around with Rory a couple times. What was his impressions? And what did you guys talk about when you were on the golf course?
Well, the first thing is people, you'd have to understand, is it was through a mutual friend I got connected to his agent. And his agent said, could you supply me with any notes, information he had? And I put together a lot of data, and I forwarded it on to him. It was actually, a lot of it was the information I gave to Brandel Chamblee, because he wanted information on the course. And it was fairly detailed stuff on how playing holes and what will happen, how the lines change when the winds change directions, and also whether the course is soft or firm. And he was supposed to show up, tee off on last Saturday, and I was out on the course late Friday afternoon with another player, and my phone starts going crazy. Rory's here and he wants to see you. And I'm like, well, I got to finish. I can't leave my buddy on the golf course. It was a friend that qualified. And so I got done with 18. I caught him on six green, and he had just his father and some friends around him, and most of them were outside the ropes. And I said, I'm here to see JP, his caddy, and they said, he's not here, he's coming in tonight. And Rory was just walking, and I literally, they said, but are you Dana? And I said, yeah. He said, he's respecting you. I walked out, and he started walking toward me, stuck his hand out, and he said, you Dana? And I said, yeah. He said, Rory McIlroy, nice to meet you. And he said, everything you said was spot on. He goes, I love this golf course. I can finally hit a driver. and he just said, you know, my biggest weapon has been taken away from me on a lot of golf tournaments, and in particular U.S. Opens. He says, I feel I can hit driver on every hole here. He says, I love this place.
Similar
and
reaction.
It pretty much never changed for 2.5 days after that.
It is interesting. We're actually pointing out, we're in the media interview room in the media center, and he brought up a great point. On Tuesday, there was kind of an impromptu cutting of the rough for a lot of different reasons, which I'd be glad to let you explain. But his reaction, I thought, was classic. He was a little surprised, and he said, look, it needs to be a demanding test. This is your course. What did you think about all that?
Well, to show you how it sort of became between Rory and I, he, right before he came in that press conference, he came up, put his arm around me on the putting green in the driving range, which was And he said, I have your back. He goes, I'm going to go into the press room and I'm going to tell him what I think. I said, what are you going to tell him? He says, I'm going to tell him they should not be, that the rough, if you can't hit it inside these corridors, mm-hmm. He says, you need to pack your bags and go home. He came in the press room and he said almost verbatim, that's what he said. And it was really cool. And, you know, he thanked me, you know, publicly, which was really, he didn't need to do, but was really kind of him. He's, you know, the other thing I would say, last thing about that is, you know, one of the coolest things I learned this week is two or three of these players that I look up to as golfers I'd never met, Justin and Rose and Rory, and these are two of the finest individuals I've ever met. These are really good people, and that was one of the highlights of my week, is finding these people that you look up to as a golfer, finding out they're better human beings than they are golfers.
Absolutely. When you kind of go to the bigger picture golf course, as we get started play, there is great unknown this week. I mean, obviously the players didn't know a lot about it. What would you focus on Thursday? Like, what are you most interested to watch today as far as the golf course, how it's going to play?
Well, I think for me, obviously, the one that everybody says, you just got to keep it out of the tall fescue in the native areas, because if you hit it in there, you're not going to play good. That's a crapshoot. It'll be interesting to me how they play two, how they play 15. I don't even know where they have the tees yet on 15 today, if they're playing it up or back. Because I was surprised, you know, Rory really thinks that he's going to be going for that green, it, depending on where they have the tees. And, you know, the penalties are exceedingly severe on that hole. If you miss that green, the odds of getting it up and down are just not good, because you're going to be in an unbelievably deep, severe bunker, and you may have a good lie. You may, the way the bunkers are built at Erin Hills, they are real hazards. They have contour in the bottoms of the slopes. And in some cases, the ball will roll up closer to the back edge of the bunker, and you have a steep bank behind you, and you're hitting off a downslope. So sometimes just getting out of the bunker is a difficult issue. I'm really going to be interested in how a lot of the bunker play is on this golf course, because these are bunkers unlike any U.S. Open in history. That I know for a fact.
Well, I've had a chance to walk the golf course, so this will be fun. If you talk about a specific hole, you mentioned number two, which has been brought up constantly throughout the week, which I find fascinating. It's the longest golf course in U.S. Open history, and yet the two holes that get brought up the most are the two shortest. The par 3-9th, which is the shortest hole on the course, 135 yards. And the second, do you want it to be a driver hole? I know the USGA is the one that decides it, but how did you design it?
Well, we definitely knew it was drivable. I mean, you can get it right up around the green to carry that bunker, depending on which tee they play. Even if they play it all the way back, it's like a 285 carry. Up to, if they go up a couple of tees, it can be up to a 260 carry. And then you have to hit it over the corner of the bunker, and it will hit a down slope, and it depends on the kick and where you hit it on that slope. And the odds are you're going to have a decent chip at it, you know, with the green perched up in the air, maybe 6 feet up by itself, with just one bunker on the right side. But, you know, it'll be real interesting, because it's just, I like it that they can actually hit a driver and they have a real chance of driving the green or getting it right next to it.
The other hole, obviously, I just mentioned was the 9th. We asked Mike Davis, executive director of the USGA, which hole keeps him up at night. And it was the 9th, and it's 135 yards. I mean, that's brilliant.
Yeah, I've said repeatedly, and I've been saying this since this course was built, I think it's going to become the hole that Erin Hills is most remembered for, along with 18, because of the backdrop, and it's a pretty dramatic par 5. But 9, I think, in time will become one of the sort of iconic short holes in golf that people always remember. And I think it's because of what you're going to see happen there. It is a really demanding shot. It's a long, skinny green. There's a false front. If they put pin on the front left, front right, hardest pin position on the hole by far. Because if you do not, you have to hit it 15, 20 feet past the hole. If you try to, because they could set it close to that edge, and if you hit that false front, it's going to suck back. It's going to go down a little approach, and it's going to go in a little bunker that's on the front right, in a part of a trough, we call it, like an erosion bunker, and it's in an area that's no more than about a foot wide. Then the rest of the green slopes from the back, from the front left to the back right, and in the middle as you're going back, there's a hollow that cuts about halfway out into the green. That's where the concern comes out. That, and Rory talked about that a little, Justin Rose and his caddy, quite a lot. Is it too much? Again, at the speeds we play it on normally here, which are around 12, it's not really a problem. 11 to 12 is a standard speed here for normal play. I've never seen them at 13 and a half or 14 and double rolled and triple rolled like the USGA does sometimes. So I don't know the answer to that question yet. It could be. But my guess would be, and I know in talking with Mike, that they're going to be cautious with the pins, and we'll do other measures to make sure that things don't get out of hand. But the big thing is if the wind, you know, if we get a wind like we had last Saturday, I mean, we had a 30, 35 mile an hour wind. At that point, everything's off, because we don't know what's going to happen.
When you kind of go back to the beginning of this, this was a build it and they will come concept. I mean, this was all built with the idea of getting this championship. When you started this process, did it play out like you thought it did? I mean, now that we're here on the first round?
If you don't know the story of Erin Hills, there's nobody that could have believed with all that transpired on this project that we're here, that we are here today is a miracle with all that happened. I mean, they literally could make a movie from day one in 2000 to where we are today, and the characters that were involved and the things that transpired, nobody would believe we're here today. So no, the answer to me is I believe the golf course could do it, but with all the things that happened with the previous owner and the new owner coming in and saving the day and all the stuff in between and some other elements that happened, it's just an amazing story. It literally could be made into a Hollywood movie with golf being the backdrop.
But no one would believe it. I agree with you, but it would be fiction. No one would buy it.
Believe me, I literally lived through the whole thing and know in great detail all of these things, and I was part of it, and I can't believe it.
And I wish we had time to get into it, but it is way... I mean, we would be sitting here
We could literally... Oh, for hours.
So, great story in the Milwaukee newspaper.
By Gary D'Amato, who was involved here. I met Gary back in 2002 or 3, before construction ever started, and Gary definitely knows the story.
So go read that, because it's too much, but it is a fascinating story. What has surprised you the most in the last couple of days leading up to this opening tee shot?
I think as a general rule, I would have to say the player reactions have been very positive. With you take away the some of the players having some issues with the native grass. When you start talking about the golf holes themselves inside the cut turf areas, they've been for the most part very positive. And for a new golf course, that's really gratifying. And to the points, I'm just going to quote him directly because he said it, and you can verify that he said this. But Jerry Pate, who is a longtime friend, came up. We were at the Bobby Jones Award dinner, and he came up and he hugged me, and he said, "This is the best U.S. Open golf course ever." Now I know there's a lot of people that are going to hear this and think that's crazy, but then Frank Nobolo, you know, when we were on live from. Same, he got up out of his chair when he saw me come over and shook my hand, and he just said, "This has got to go on a permanent rotation." You know, when you start hearing things like that, these are, you know, it makes you feel real good, because obviously we don't want just one U.S. Open here. You know, we absolutely, and anybody has one U.S. Open wants two U.S. Opens, but I want more than that. I want this to be what Frank Nobolo believes it should be, and that is on a permanent rotation.
Along those lines, Mike Davis talked about this yesterday, the pressure that he feels this week. What kind of pressure do you feel this week?
Well, you know, I think for the most part, I would think the pressure's been relieved ourselves, because I think the majority of the players are happy with the golf course itself. The native areas are truly out of our control. A great deal of that was the spring that we had, how wet it was. And it was very cold until about 2 weeks ago, and then it got warm, it quit raining, and the stuff, Zach, the superintendent here, is a very close friend, said in the last 10 to 12 days that the rough is actually growing about 10 inches. I mean, the stuff has just shot up, and, you know, and that's why it's so thick. And, you know, you come here later in the summer, in August, September, then it will be much thinner and much more playable, but it's just, part of it is just Mother Nature doing her natural job.
Well, and I don't want to get too much into that, because it seems like at this point we feel like by the time we get to Sunday we're not going to be talking about social media videos and the rough, and because of what Roy pointed out, you have 50 yards between rough line to rough line. I mean, these are the best players in the world. Certainly someone's going to hit in there, but it's not going to decide the championship, you'd like to think. But just to kind of touch on it one last time, there is something to be said for if you get 12 yards off the fairway, it is wispy. But it's that 2, 3, 4 yards just off the fairway that's the thick stuff, and you can explain it.
Well, I'll tell you the owner here, Andy Ziegler, is totally committed to this place, and the financial resources he has put into this place to get us from where we are back in 2009, which was in very bad condition, to now being praised for its condition among virtually every player in the field. Andy also has made it very clear that if there are issues after this is over and it's assessed and discussed among the team, that if changes need to be made, they will be made. And I think one of the things we'll definitely look at is the native areas. The areas you're talking about that are thin and wispy tend to be what we call a hard fescue or a sheep fescue mixed together. And they grow up and they're more clumpy. And, you know, when you get down it, you can actually sort of be in almost a little bare area in some of those areas. Mm-hmm. But you can always find your ball, and you can always advance at 150 or whatever yards. And the other is different types of fescues that are just much thicker, especially at this time of year. And it may be something that we end up altering different types of grasses in the future. And if that's deemed that what we have to do to make this better, I can assure you with Andy Ziegler at the helm, it's going to happen.
I hate to shoehorn anyone in any profession. That's unfortunate. But if you look at Pete Dye, and he has... you know, he's known for the railroad ties. I mean, you can go sort of down the list. And you mentioned the bunkering here, and I want to compare it to another one of your courses, which I love. It's one of my favorites, Shelter Harbor in Rhode Island. I can see the similarities between the bunkers, not as penal at Shelter Harbor as it is here. Is that really where you spent most of your time focused on this golf course?
Well, the bunkers were a huge part of it, and you know, but these are far more penal than what we did at Shelter Harbor. They have much steeper banks, many more crevices in it, but we were trying to create what we call erosion bunkers in some spots, where the water just washed down these things, and you got these little rivulets of sand that in some spots are a foot wide or 8 inches wide, and you know, trying to make them look more like Mother Nature created them. And they, you know, if you look at these early in the morning and late in the evening, and the shadows on them, they're almost scary looking because they're just these pits in the ground.
Looks like a claw coming out on 9. I was out there yesterday.
It's unbelievable. I mean, you look at the bunkers on 9 and the bunkers on 15. It is. You sit there in your camera, just like the shots, just those dark holes. They're true hazards.
You don't strike me as a man that worries about much too much, but coming into this week, what was your biggest fear?
Oh, that the players would not like it. I'm not going to start naming golf courses, but you know, I don't want and did not want, because this is my entire career here, and you know, and I hope to be doing this another, God willing, another 20, 25 years, and I hope this is a springboard to work all over the world. I've already, you know, I'm working in the Middle East now in Abu Dhabi, and I've worked a lot. I lived in Asia, doing a lot in Asia, and if the power of the social media and what these people say carries a lot of weight with people all over the world. And if this comes out as a highly regarded U.S. Open, generally liked by the majority of the players, and then gets on a rotation, this changes my career for the rest of my life. I have a lot riding on this week. And I am pretty confident now because of how the players feel. Now it comes into weather conditions and setup and making sure everything goes as smooth as we can. And
kind of out of your hands now.
It is out of my hands now. And, you know, and obviously the other thing you really hope for is you want, ideally, a Sunday leaderboard with a lot of the true stars, the best players in the game at or near the leaderboard. And obviously, from a selfish perspective, I want a superstar to win the thing, because it just helps identify the golf course even more.
Or a good finish. I was going to ask you, like, what's a best-case scenario on Sunday in your mind?
I think a playoff with Dustin Johnson, Jason Day, Rory McIlroy, and Jordan Spieth on Monday would make it a pretty iconic tournament.
Along those lines, though, if we're talking about the golf course on Sunday afternoon, and I kind of realized this over my career, something went wrong. If we're not talking about the golf course on Sunday afternoon, is that almost a best-case scenario for you? I mean, of course we're going to talk about it in the days afterwards, but you see what I'm getting at here.
Yeah, you want... where the golfers are out there playing a great golf course, hitting demanding shots that are fair test of golf, and that identify the best players in the world and the best player that week. And again, hopefully that is the storyline, and that you see some really dramatic shots coming down the stretch. And you look at the finishing holes, you've got 2 par 4s, 2 par 3s, 2 par 5s. A lot can happen. I mean, 14 and 15 could be wild swings, because 14 is definitely a reachable 5, but the shot into that green, you're going to see all the balls going all sorts of directions. It'll be very interesting with how Mike sets 15 up on Sunday. My guess would be he's going to set it up where the yardage is such where it almost becomes a male ego thing of, I can hit a utility club into this green. How can I lay up? You know, it'll be really interesting how it goes.
Well, it's been a pleasure talking about the golf course early in the week with you, and congratulations. Oh. It's a long time coming.
Appreciate thank you very much.
Time.
I appreciate it.
Have a good week. Go out and see your baby, so to speak.
I'm going right now. Can't wait.